Buffalo can hang on. This is going to be a good one.
The fans at Kansas Speedway know how to have a good time. And you are all invited. NASCAR weekend at Kansas Speedway, May 4th and 5th. Get your tickets now at kansasspeedway.com.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
You know that scene in The Dark Knight where the Joker is just standing in the street and the Batman on the motorcycle is just running at him? He goes, "Hit me! Hit me! I want you to do it! Just hit me!"
With Joshua Briscoe.
That's how I feel. That's what we should all be yelling. We should all point towards wherever the asteroid is and just do that and see if it'll come get us.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back into Almost Entirely Sports. Please don't go get hit by a motorcycle. Again, another movie I haven't seen. So, just you guys, I told you that I have not seen most movies that people would expect. Just any normal human being that lives in, like, with access to a television.
It's a classic movie. Right.
I know. That one, I know. That's a tough one. You guys.
Blake just came up with a new segment. It's going to be, what did Allie learn each week?
This movies Allie hasn't seen.
Yes, movies Allie has never seen.
Answer, most of them. So that's going to be a very short segment because you name a movie and chances are I haven't seen it. So
yep, that's our segment.
That's it. And we're going to take a break. No, we are not going to take a break. Instead, we are going to welcome in Hondo Carpenter of Sports Illustrated to talk some Chiefs Raiders. Hondo's got the pulse on everything going on in Las Vegas now. Hondo, how's it going?
Great. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it, Allie.
Thanks for joining us, and thanks to Joshua Briscoe for connecting us. I'm filling in for him tonight, as most of you listening to the show now know. But Hondo, I want to start with a storyline that is just, it's, first of all, I wonder how much Andy Reid, because I think he just kind of hates this sort of thing, so it's even funny that it's gotten to the point that it is now in terms of blowing up, so to speak. But the victory lap, the bus at Arrowhead, the Raiders win, huge win for the Raiders, a you know, AFC West rivalry through and through, and they take a victory lap at Arrowhead. Andy Reid seems a little salty about it in his press conference, and now that is the talk of social media going into a game where there are a lot of interesting storylines to get to, but I want to start there. What's going on with the bus? We heard John Gruden's comments about it.
Well, when the Raiders were pulling up and the bus driver said, "Shame you came this far to lose," and you know, and they're making comments to the Raiders like that or other things, that was not meant, because first of all, John and Andy are very close friends, very good friends, got a great respect. That was meant to rub it in the face of a bus driver. And, you know, it's kind of like when Peyton Manning was playing and one of his minor players who hardly played ran his mouth before a big game and gave bulletin board material to an opponent, and Peyton just about lost it. You know, a lot of people, that was just another motivation. I'll give you another one that I had heard about from some of the players, but not with you guys, but I was on in Kansas City on another station before the last game and said, I predict that the Raiders are going to lose, but this is a team that's coming. And this is a team that has gotten away from what the Raiders used to be. They're now building a lot like the Chiefs. They're being smart. They're spending wisely. They're a playoff team. I don't think that they're a Super Bowl team, but they're coming. And the host literally laughed at me. The guy goes, "Well, when are they coming? Because you're not beating us for the next decade." And literally some of those comments got back to the Raiders. And I think that the Chiefs are a great football team. It's an amazing organization, and they deserve all the respect in the world. But I think they got a little big for their britches, and they thought that the Raiders were just going to come in and lie down and kiss their Super Bowl rings. Well, instead, the Raiders kind of crammed them up their rear end and said, "Hey, we're going to make you play us for the whole game." And they beat them, and they shouldn't have. I'm going to say that right now. They shouldn't have. The Chiefs lost that game, in my opinion, more than the Raiders won it. Mm-hmm. And I think it sent a message that, quite frankly, I said afterwards, I think the Chiefs are going to go win a Super Bowl. I think that's going to be one of the biggest reasons. Allie, I'm a lot older than you, but I'll give you one quick example of that. When Michigan State won the national title with Magic Johnson in 1979 in basketball against Larry Bird, They were not doing well that year, and they went into Northwestern and lost a game they should have never lost. And Magic told me personally that that loss inspired that team to say, okay, we're better than this. But we can't take anybody lightly because we're going to get everybody's best shot. I think the Chiefs have been different since that game, and in the end, I don't think it mattered. But in the end, I think that's going to be the game that propels the Chiefs to go win another Super Bowl, as they realized, you know, last year we were the hunter, but now we're the hunted. And everybody's going to give us their best shot. And I think this is a great Kansas City team, great players, great organization. But I think everybody got a little bit full of themselves, and that's what happens in the National Football League. When you play a good team, and the Raiders are, they're a playoff team, they're going to go 10-6. If you don't play everybody like it's the Super Bowl, you're going to get picked off, and that's what happened.
Well, Hondo, and I'll tell you what, I think, you know, when you look at Andy Reid's press conferences each week, he never talks down or past an opponent, and it goes back to what you said with the bulletin board material. You know, you don't want to give any team that extra motivation or that not football related thing to hold on to that might give them that extra push going into a game. And I think you bring up a good point as well, in that that loss could be something that now pushes this Chiefs team towards back into their second Super Bowl, which is what the goal is, the run it back campaign. But maybe a good message to media, because I think that there's definitely a bit of an arrogance when the team, and if you've got people talking who are lifelong fans, it's easy to get wrapped up in the success and the dominance of the Chiefs up to this point. But I like what you said about this Raiders team, and that maybe not a super contender in this year's playoffs, but they're getting close. And you mentioned a couple of the reasons why, but how far off do you see this Raiders team being from being a true playoff contender to maybe dethrone the Chiefs from atop of the AFC West?
I said prior to the season that I thought the Raiders were going to lose both games to the Chiefs, but next year it was going to be competitive with them because they're just got so many young players. I'm going to think about this, Allie. They're down three offensive linemen starters. Three. They've played five right tackles, and they just continue to. Think about this one. Down four offensive linemen last week, they still ran the ball 41 times and still beat a really good team. Now, Denver's not great. They're not a playoff team, but they're still a solid team. It's not like they're playing the Lions, who, if they were arrested for being an NFL team, there's not enough evidence to convict them. I mean, the Denver is still a legitimate NFL team. And, you know, and they still did it. They're still running. They're still running the ball and doing what they got to do. Now, this week, they're not going to beat Kansas City running the ball 41 times. They're going to have to put the ball in the air. They're going to have to play aggressive and score points because you're going against the best player in the NFL and the best team in the NFL. But I still think that they're 1 year away. I think next year is when you're going to see this team. I'm not saying they will dethrone Kansas City next year, but I think you're going to see it next year is going to be absolutely competitive. I think it's that they're going to probably split it 1-1. But I'm just going to say this. They're a young team, but they're a puncher. And one of the things I remember interviewing one of the early fighters that fought Mike Tyson, and Mike was not a guy who was a technique boxer. He was a brawler. And when Mike Tyson knocked him out in the first round, he said to me, the thing that stood out to me was is that kid had no technique, didn't have a lot of technique, but he had a puncher's chance. If the Raiders are able to beat Kansas City, and let me just say, I think they could. I think if they play this game 10 times, the Raiders would win four. But if they beat them on Sunday night with the nation watching, I think all of a sudden a super young team, and these Raiders are, they are very, very young, all of a sudden now has two wins against the reigning Super Bowl champion, and all of a sudden their future becomes their present. Again, I still think the Chiefs are the better team. I still predict the Chiefs to win it. But if the Raiders are able to capitalize and win that game on Sunday, KD bar the door, because that is like Viagra to the soul for a young team.
No, I mean, you bring up an excellent point, and that could really be a galvanizing thing amongst a young group. And I want to talk about, you know, a big reason for the Raiders' success and Derek Carr not throwing interceptions, just trailing Mahomes in the fewest interceptions thrown this season, playing just smart football. And, you know, I think in the past, in these matchups between the Chiefs and the Raiders with Derek Carr as quarterback, mistakes similar to Phillip Rivers at the Chargers kind of got the best of them at times. You know, what's been the change with him as quarterback to have a game like he did against the Chiefs and then to just minimize the mistakes and find success just by not turning the ball over? I mean, he's turned it over off of fumbles, but, you know, not throwing interceptions is a pretty big thing for a quarterback.
You know, Allie, that's a great point, and it's why the people in Kansas City are fortunate to have you guys in your station. When I was on the other station before the game last time, I mentioned if you looked at Carr's stats and Patrick Mahomes' stats and you didn't know whose was whose, you would think Carr's was Mahomes. He actually had better stats than Patrick.
Yeah.
Not saying he's a better quarterback. I'm just saying he is doing exactly what John Gruden is asking him to do. He, in my opinion, he's one of the, you know, he is absolute MVP candidate the way he's played. He's not made mistakes. He's not cost the Raiders one game. Think about this one. In one game, down five offensive linemen, he still threw no interceptions. He still didn't have a fumble. One of his early fumbles was when he pitched the ball to Jalen Richard, who got to the wrong spot. And as you know in the NFL, when you pitch the ball and the guy's supposed to be there and he's not, if he doesn't touch it, the fumble goes on the quarterback. It wasn't even on him. Derek Carr has not been good. Derek Carr has been elite, and he's been great. And I'm a lot older than you. I've been covering football for a long, long time. And I can tell you he's putting together one of the best years of any quarterback I've ever seen. Now, is he going to go out and run for 100 yards? Nope. Is he going to do some things that Patrick Mahomes is going to do? No. But in his system, they're not asking him to do that. You know, it's kind of like when you look at a team's record and say, well, they haven't played anybody yet. But the point is they played everybody who the NFL put on their schedule. Now, coming up to this point, they've had the most difficult schedule in all of the NFL. Obviously, it doesn't get easier when you're playing the best team in Kansas City again this week. But Derek Carr has been great at doing what Derek Carr has been asked to do. And one thing that I will tell you on Sunday night, now, they know they're going to have to air the ball out and take some risks. He threw that interception last time they played against Kansas City because John Gruden said, we've got to take some risks, and he did. So if there is an interception, which I expect there to be, which there hasn't been many this year, it's going to be because the coach is telling Derek, take those risks. But one thing that stood out with Derek is he's not one time cost them a game. You can't even say that about Tom Brady.
Yeah.
And he has it, and he's been brilliant, and he's done everything right. And most importantly, he's put this very young team on his back and led them. You know, you mentioned, Allie, another great point on your part about in the past with mistakes. But in the past, the Raiders didn't have the depth.
Mm-hmm.
Now they do. So now that they are down all of these guys, used to be that Derek would make those mistakes because he was trying to do more than he had to because he didn't have any depth. Now they're very good. I mean, they've got the best, if not the best, the second best 1-2 punch in running back with Josh Jacobs and Devontae Booker. They're absolutely loaded at wide receiver. They have the best tight end in America in Darren Waller, and I know that you guys got a great one, but I'm saying when you look and talk to people around the league, they're going to probably say, you know, it's going to be a Kelce or a Waller or a Waller and a Kelce, so they're right there in that mix, 1A and 1B, depending on who you ask. But then when their offensive line was healthy, they had the best offensive line in football, but they've been battered. Richie Incognito's still not back. You know, Trent Brown, who knows? Now Cleveland Farrell on the COVID list, and I don't expect him to play on Sunday night. So then this has just been a team that's been the sum of their parts has been amazing. Let's give the Chiefs all the credit in the world. I think Andy Reid's the most underrated, even though he's won a Super Bowl, I think he's the most underrated coach in the NFL. I think he is an elite coach, and if you're starting a list of the best coaches in the NFL, if Andy Reid isn't in your top three, then you're just secretly a Houston Texan fan. But I'm going to say that I think he's
facts.
Brilliant. When you look at the roster, one thing that I think Kansas City's done a great job of, they've went out and gotten not only good guys who are football players, but good guys off the field. You're not looking at all the idiocy that you see sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But again, so I think the Chiefs have done it right. This is their game to win. If the Raiders are going to beat them, it's going to be just like the last time, the Chiefs are going to have to help them. But this is a Raiders team that's coming, and this is a team that they're not intimidated by them. They want them at the Death Star, and it's going to be fun to see.
Well, Hondo, I think you hit the nail on the head earlier, and you too, Allie, when you were talking about how much Derek Carr has really put the team on his back. I know for a long time, because I do have a lot of friends that are actually Raiders fans, even though they do live here in Kansas City, who have been Derek Carr fanatics. And I think a lot of the things around the league that you hear from people is, oh, Derek Carr isn't, he doesn't have the talent, he's not good enough. You know, name any excuse, it doesn't matter. But one thing I've always seen from Derek Carr is a tremendous amount of ability. If you can just get him the weapons, he can make the plays. He has one of the strongest arms in the NFL. I know he doesn't probably get the credit for it as much, but he's right up there with Patrick Mahomes. He's right up there with Big Ben. He's right up there with Russell Wilson as far as arm talent. Now, when you look at the last game that they played against the Chiefs, you got Derek Carr, who really went out and had a Patrick Mahomes-esque game. 347 yards, three touchdowns. I mean, he put up gigantic numbers against the Super Bowl champions. Now, you talk about a guy like Darren Waller. How important has it been, and making the comparisons there to Travis Kelce, we can argue about who's better a little later if we want, but just to have somebody who's such a security blanket that they haven't had in a long time at tight end to help Derek Carr on check down passes, somebody who's 6'6 and can get out there and go up high in the end zone as a red zone target, how much has Darren Waller alone, not to mention the speed on the outside, played a gigantic part in Derek Carr's not only progression as a quarterback, but just success overall this year?
That's a great question. Let me just say this. I'm not a fan, so my job literally is I just cover the team. And so when I make those Kelce Waller comparisons, it's because I'm talking to NFL management people around the league, and I'm basing those opinions on them. So I want you to know that's not me knowing Darren or covering them. I'm asking them, guys, who are the best? And it's in every one of them, it's either Kelce or Waller, Waller or Kelce. And so I want to just say it just so you don't think I'm being a fanboy, because I'm not. But Darren Waller, there are several things that Darren Waller does really well. And one of the things that he does is he's consistent. He's never going to run a bad route. He just doesn't run a bad route. He's a guy that's going to be leading. But there has been games this year where Derek Carr completed a pass to 11 different receivers. Think about that one, guys, in the NFL. 11. And so one of the things that stood out with this Raider team is you couldn't do that on a lot of teams because guys' egos want the ball. And this is a young team that they've built with football players. Guys who just love the game. So Darren Waller go out one game and get 11 catches and come back the next one like he did Sunday and get two or three. Mm-hmm. And there's no complaints. It's just about winning. And if the Raiders have done one thing that I admire, you know, when Al Davis was there, they would have went out and made the dumb free agent that they overpaid. They didn't do it. They haven't done it since Mayock and Gruden have gotten there. They've gone in when they've had to add some guys who are a little bit long in the heat, in the teeth. Let's look at Jeff Heath. Okay, Jerry Jones, in his utter incompetence and arrogance, lets Jeff Heath and Malik Collins go. These are two key leaders on the Raiders. Great guys off the field, great players on the field. But Jerry Jones, in his brilliance, at least in his own mind, lets these guys walk, and they both come to Las Vegas. Heath with two interceptions last week. Neither of these guys are going to go out and get, you know, endorsements from McDonald's. But they're just solid football players that do it right. Darren Waller the same way. This guy is a tremendous worker, an amazing work ethic. And so what makes him special is that he wants the other guys to produce. He'll do the dirty things in the running game. But when Derek Carr needs him to slide out into the flat, he's there for a quick drop down. And when you're Kansas City, and we saw this when they played the last time, Kansas City does a great job of trying to shut down what you do well. But the Raiders have so many weapons, you have to pick your poison. So, you know what? That they're going to come out and say, we're going to stop Darren Waller. Okay, that's fine. We got Nelson Aguilar. Or, you know, we're going to do Jason Witten, Hunter Renfro, you know, Justin Moreau, Henry Ruggs, Brian Edwards, who will be back starting. Think about this, guys. At one point, Derek Carr was down as three starting wide receivers this year. Three starters. And so, you know, they've got weapons everywhere, and that's where this Raider team is different, is they've got weapons and they don't have egos. It's just about winning. And I, again, I'm not a fanboy, but in the words of Al Davis, it's just win, baby, and that's exactly what they've done. They say to a Jason Witten, listen, okay, we want you. We want you as much in the locker room as we do on the field. So if you come here and you're expecting 10 targets, you're not going to get it. But you want to come and get the targets that you deserve and help train our young people. And he came. This has been a brilliant coaching job by John Gruden. And when you look at all of the injuries, guys on the COVID list, I mean, you're looking at down three starting offensive linemen, down your three starting wide receivers, and the fact that they're 6-3. If John Gruden isn't in the discussion 9 games in for Coach of the Year, then I want to know who is, because he has done a masterful job.
Well, one of the things that I've actually always said, and I know there's a couple other people here in Kansas City that have as well, is I've always said the NFL as a whole is better when the Raiders are good. And I think one of the biggest things that I think is the Raiders Chiefs rivalry, you know, it has been kind of lackluster, obviously, the past, 5 to 8 seasons. And
wasn't a rivalry.
Yeah, exactly.
Chiefs owned them.
Exactly.
Let's not lie. Let's not pretend we're living in the fantasy world. It wasn't a rivalry. The Raiders didn't make it a rivalry. While the Chiefs went out, and let me tell you, I think the Hunts are some of the most amazing ownership in all of the NFL. Mm-hmm. They're brilliant people and great people. So you got a team that came out, they went and realized, okay, listen, we got one of the most rabid fan bases in America. Mm-hmm. This is ridiculous. We're not winning. And they go and get an Andy Reid, who it was a blessing that he got to leave Philadelphia. What that man did in Philadelphia was like taking a pig and winning Miss America. But they didn't appreciate it because they're Philly. Right. But you know what? Because they're Philly. They don't appreciate anyone. They take pride in their reputation that we boo Santa. Well, guess what, Philly? You still suck. And so all of a sudden, Andy Reid comes to Kansas City. All of a sudden, now he's in with a stable ownership group that says, listen, no shortcuts, Andy. Just build it. And they did exactly what the Raiders are doing under Gruden and Mayock. No shortcuts. Just keep going at it. Keep plugging away. And they have done a masterful job. And you're right, though. There are franchises. Pittsburgh is one of them. Mm-hmm. Green Bay is one of them. Dallas, but when those teams are good, it's better for the National Football League. You know, I'm from Michigan, so all of a sudden, the Lions always suck. The reason the Lions always play on Thanksgiving is twofold. Number one, because their family spends so much money in advertising. But number two, it's so the people of the state of Michigan don't need Pepto-Bismol after turkey dinner, because we know the Lions are going to just absolutely make us throw up what we have. It's a tradition. Well, when these teams, when Kansas City's good, when you got the Raiders being good, it's good for the league. I mean, think about this, folks. Sunday night, the eyes of the world on the Death Star, the reigning Super Bowl champions with the best player in football, the reigning Super Bowl champions who are the best team in football, taking on their upstart rival who wants to be Mike Tyson and catch him looking and nail him in the temple and knock him out and say, we're back now and we're not a year away. Fat Hondo's wrong. I mean, this is a war. This is why you love football. It's why you don't like soccer. And it's why this is America's absolute passion. It's why we love it.
Well, Hondo, you're talking to like the biggest soccer fan here, but I will agree with you in that soccer still got a ways to go. A and B, football is in every way America's sport, and I'm curious your thoughts on this, because we've heard a lot this season about the NFC West being the hardest division in the NFL, and I think you could make a really strong argument that the AFC West, outside of the Chargers and Anthony Lynn just being incapable of winning close games, whether they've got the rising star in Justin Herbert at quarterback or they've got the falling star in Phillip Rivers, who, not to take away anything from his career, he's just simply, he's on the way out, right? But I think when the Broncos get healthy, when they can kind of get some consistency with that team, and you've got the Raiders on the rise, the Chiefs looking like they'll be consistent for at least the next decade if they can build around Mahomes consistently enough, this is a tough division.
Yeah, it is. You know, and I'm going to tell you this. Don't rest on the Broncos. I think they're better than they're playing right now, and I mm-hmm. think they've got some learning curves. But I think that's a really good football team. I do. I think I'm not going to be shocked one bit. I think the Raiders are going to get everything they want when they have to go to Mile High and play them, because I think that's a team on the rise. That's a great analysis by you, Allie. It's why you do what you do so well. I think everybody's sleeping, because Kansas City was so good, You know, it's like, for example, my wife is gorgeous. And so when everybody sees me with my wife, they can't believe that she's with me, and neither can I, by the way. But she's so gorgeous that any room she walks into, every woman gets ignored because my wife's perfect. Well, it's the same way. I think Kansas City's been so beautiful and so good, and the belle of the ball combined with what Mahomes is on and off the field and the hunts and all of the winning and the way they've done it right, that they overshadowed everybody. I think the best thing that happened to the AFC West was when the Raiders went in there and punched the Kansas City in the face and got an upset win. I think it was great for the league. I think it was great. As much as nobody in Kansas City wanted to see that loss, I think it was a great loss for your team. I think you've been better since that. I think it just reminded them, like I said earlier, you're going to get everybody's best shot. And now all of a sudden, I mean, if you guys, I've been watching. I mean, Kansas City now, is like, there's a little bit of a different approach. I think at the end of the year, when they hoist the Super Bowl trophy, and I believe that they will, that they better send a thank you card to the Raiders.
I agree. I think that, you know, we've already heard Travis Kelce say that he gets upset and frustrated every time he watches that tape back. You know, they have not forgotten that game by any means. But I want to, you know, Hondo, a lot of great stuff, and I know we'll have to let you go soon, but I just, one thing that you said that kind of stuck with me, and it's relevant because this week, Andy Reid and Brett Veach both signed contract extensions with the Kansas City Chiefs, and you bring up the hunts and the ownership, and I think the big thing with them that, you know, especially when you look across the league and you see teams like the Houston Texans, you see teams like the Dallas Cowboys, where ownership just doesn't know when to step out of their own way. And the Hunts have, Clark Hunt has perfectly balanced where and when to be involved and when to step out of the spotlight and let Andy Reid and Brett Veach just do what they do best. And as a result, this team now has Patrick Mahomes, which drafted under John Dorsey, but was a scouting effort of Brett Veach. And then you look at the way that this team has just developed and taken off since then. I mean, is that what you sense is going on now with the Raiders organization and Mayock and Gruden, what they are building there? Does it remind you of what the beautiful, like, just symphony of success that the Chiefs have found both on the field and behind the scenes?
You know, success is not an accident. I remember talking to Jimmy Johnson once, and he talked about the importance of when he took the Cowboy job, that Jerry Jones, you know, was going to let him run it. And consequently, it's why, since Jimmy left, I mean, I know they won with Barry Switzer, but let's face it, that was Troy Aikman leading as Jimmy Johnson with Jimmy's players, that the Cowboys aren't the Cowboys anymore. The Hunts are the gold standard of ownership. They are tremendous human beings away from football. They're salt of the earth people. They're the people that you want, you know, moving in next door to be your neighbors. But they are awesome at football in that they know what they do well and they know what they don't. Now, I want to say this. Please hear me out. Al Davis, in my opinion, is probably one of the greatest owners in professional sports history. Now, hear me out. Because of what he did to grow the game, whether it was marketing, willing to fight the NFL, and other things. Now, do I think he was one of the best football owners? Well, we saw what happened after the 80s, when all of a sudden the team began to go down, when all of a sudden he would go sign the free agent that was at the end of his deal because of the name. Clearly, he wasn't at the end where he was at the beginning. I believe that Mark Davis is a incredible owner, and here's why. His dad was a football coach. Most people don't know Al Davis started with the Raiders as a coach and then bought the team. But Mark Davis knows what he doesn't know. And unlike his father, who at the end of his life, you know, made a lot of really poor decisions that crippled the Raiders, Mark Davis went out and got a guy he respected, John Gruden, and paid him a lot of money. But said, hey, I'm going to be the owner. I'm going to get you the stadium. I'm going to get, you know, we're going to stay out of the lawsuits. We're going to get you everything you need to succeed. And I'm going to tell you, that stadium and that practice facility are the best in the NFL. And before anybody wants to argue with me, then you better go to them all and be to as many as I have. It's the best. And Mark Davis brings in these guys and says, okay, you run it. You do what you got to do. And so all of a sudden now, when there were some, I'll give you Jadeveon Clowney as an example. A lot of Raiders fans this year. We got to get Jadeveon Clowney. Well, the Raiders were not interested in paying Jadeveon Clowney because he beat up the Michigan quarterback in college. They went on his real numbers. And they knew that they had one of the best defensive ends, young ones coming off a great rookie campaign with 10 sacks and Max Crosby, that if they go overpay for Clowney and he's not going to produce, that's his track record in the NFL, he doesn't, then all of a sudden they're going to have a Max Crosby who's going to say, okay, I'm going to hold out now because I outplayed him and he got paid triple what I got paid. And there was no argument. So the Raiders were willing to give Jadeveon Clowney a contract, but it was incentive-laden. And guess what? Jadeveon Clowney didn't even believe in Jadeveon Clowney. It's why he didn't come here. And so they have been brilliantly just waiting. They're not overpaying. They're not going to get the big money free agents that they know that they're going to have to overpay for. They're getting guys that plug and play, and they know they built from the draft. And to me, the Hunts and what they've done to Andy Reid, again, I'm not a fan, but I'm going to tell you what. Last year when they hoisted the Super Bowl trophy, if you love the game of football, I don't care who you root for, if you weren't happy for the Hunt family, then you quite frankly are just a jerk, because those are the people that do it right. They're the people that represent all that's good in ownership. They love their city. They've never tried to hold Kansas City hostage. They've just done things the right way. Andy Reid, with all that he's been through, I mean, how does this guy make it to so many playoff big games, you know, close to the Super Bowl, and then gets run out of town in Philly? How ridiculous is that? The only good to come out of Philly. I mean, I know they got a Super Bowl, and thank God for my buddy Nick Foles that led it. But give me a cheesesteak and keep your Eagles. But the Hunts do it right. And at the end of the day, Mark Davis has taken that same approach. Mike Mayock and John Gruden are. And this is why the eyes of the world are going to be on the Death Star on Sunday night. This is what you want. Two great franchises doing it the right way. The NFL needs this. Dear God, America needs this right now.
Well, and Hondo, right before we let you go, I think this is kind of one last thing I want to say. Coach Tim Grunhart was my high school coach, former center for the Kansas City Chiefs. He's played in his fair share of Raiders games. And the one thing that he always told me, and I think it applies perfectly to both the Raiders and the Chiefs coming into this matchup on Sunday night, is I don't care if you hate a team at all. I don't care if they're 2-14 or they're 14-2. I don't care if you hate their guts. You must respect them. And I think in the last game, the Chiefs didn't have the full amount of respect for the Raiders. Well, I'll tell you what. Coming into this game, the Chiefs are going to have the full amount of respect, and you're dang sure the Raiders are going to have the full amount of respect for these
Chiefs. Yeah, I'm going to tell you this. I know it's indoors, but it's going to be played on grass. This is going to be a battle royale. Now, again, I think that the Chiefs are going to win it. I do, because they're the champion, and yep, they did take a punch. They lost one game, but it wasn't a knockout. Let's not pretend like it was more than what it was. One loss in a 16-game season. I think they're going to show everybody why they are the defending champions. But the Raiders are still going to come out punching, and that's why it's just going to be fun. And this is what else I think is really cool. It's I mentioned earlier I'm from Michigan, and in Michigan State season is falling apart this year. They're terrible, but they beat Michigan. And that's all they care about. And in a rivalry game, when you got Andy Reid and you've got John Gruden, who are great friends, and you know, the fan base is, it's a long tradition of dislike. But Mark Davis and his respect for the Hunts and their respect for Mark, this is what you want. If you're an AFC West fan, all of the NFL is watching the AFC West. This is exactly why you want to be in this league. That is why this is going to be such a great matchup. It's such a great game. The only thing that sucks is there's not going to be 65,000 fans cheering it on. So we all can agree, COVID sucks, but this game's going to be great.
Well, and looking at the way that both of these teams are going, this year it might not have the fanfare that it would in a normal-looking year, but couple years from now, hopefully next year, and you know, the years to come, it's going to have all of that and more. Looking forward to it at, of course, the beautiful new Death Star. I love that name.
And by the way, Allie, I want you guys to join me. Wouldn't it be great if these teams played three times this year?
That would be fun. That would be really fun. Hey, I am fully for. I think the Raiders have a really good chance of finding their way into the playoffs, and I think that the AFC's got a lot of talent, and it's going to be tough for the Chiefs to make it out of the AFC and back to the Super Bowl. But man, is this season shaping up, especially seeing how, you know, the Raiders have progressed and other teams as well. It's going to be a fun one. But Hondo, thank you so much for the time. Great stuff from you, and look forward to catching up with you again soon, and hopefully having a third Raiders Chiefs game to talk about, because that would be a lot of fun.
Let's play three. Thanks, everybody.
Bye, Hondo. Thank you. All right, we're going to take a quick break here on Almost Entirely Sports, and we will be back after this.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Chad Henne? No, he's not in this game, but Chad Pennywise is.
With Joshua Briscoe.
You would like to play with Matt Moore? Can't help you. Can Splat Gore do anything for you?
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back to Almost Entirely Sports. We're nearing the end of our victory lap here. It's been fun. Two shows filling in for Josh.
Yes, it has been fantastic.
Hanging out here on Almost Entirely Sports. So if you hear the liners, you expect to hear Josh welcome you back with his beautiful, beautiful voice. Well, sorry, it's me. Which by at this point in the show, like, you should know. And if you're just now tuning in, sorry.
Sorry.
Here we are.
Newsflash. We're not Josh.
We're not Josh.
But I hope you guys have been enjoying listening to us the past two shows, filling in for Josh. And
a random Wednesday and a random Tuesday.
Yeah,
nothing like it.
Hopefully we can snag a couple of Josh's fans and have them listen to Allie and Blake a little bit more.
Whenever we're on. Whenever we're on. Yeah. We don't even know. So
seriously, we don't know.
We literally do not know. But Hondo was awesome.
Yes.
That, like,
what a great insight, especially from a guy who you know, he said multiple
adamant
times, I am not a fan. I am not a fan, but I will tell you everything good about the Raiders, and I will tell you everything good about the Chiefs. And I think, you know, he was talking about when you're on different people's sports shows in different cities, you know, they really want to play Homer. Like he had mentioned, mm-hmm. I'm only assuming what other show he was on, but,
yeah.
You know, they were kind of laughing at him. And at the same time, you know, I'm sitting here listening to everything he's saying, and I'm like, dude, those are all great points. Those are all great points, Hondo.
Well, and while I totally understand and believe that the Chiefs hype, confidence, and almost to a point teetering on the line of arrogance is
right.
Perfectly,
yeah.
Like, well earned by, you know, what the Chiefs have achieved and what they have just talent wise from a coaching perspective. I mean, they're just a well-oiled machine.
Yes.
That said, like, any given Sunday, well, at this point now we've got a lot more Thursdays, Mondays, whatever. I mean, the Chiefs were three double-digit deficits away from not winning a Super Bowl.
Exactly.
So and while they have, and which is a huge boost of confidence, I think when you look at this Chiefs team, seeing how they've overcome adversity, overcome deficits as great as 24 points to win a game, that is a very important thing to be able to do to win a Super Bowl. Absolutely. Like, that's a hang up with the Ravens is that, oh, can Lamar Jackson come back in
yeah.
a game? Like, because if he can't, that's the chances of going through the playoffs without trailing significantly or even by a small amount, not very likely when you're playing talented teams. You're playing the best of what's left. And, you know, with the Chiefs, again, a huge boost of confidence. That said, though, you can't look past any team, and when you are the reigning Super Bowl champion, like Hondo said, you're going to get every team's best game, and that was the Raiders' Super Bowl. Both of these games, to them, this season, and they've got a pretty hard schedule, like Hondo mentioned, but these are their two Super Bowls. These are
yeah.
This is their AFC Championship game and their Super Bowl game, and if you're trying to measure where you're at in your growth process, in your team development process, and if you got a young team, you're trying to build and keep up with the Chiefs, that's your measuring stick. That's what you are comparing yourself to.
And it's not only enough that you beat the Chiefs and you're like, heck yeah, we just beat the Super Bowl champions. No, you are the only reason that the best team in the league is not undefeated. So that, on top of just the fact that they beat them, they're the only reason that the Kansas City Chiefs aren't undefeated, has to play even more into their, you know, their gusto coming into this game and how good they're feeling and their confidence level. They're saying, hey, you know, eight other teams have played the Chiefs. Eight other teams have lost. We were the only one who won.
Yeah.
Let's replicate that. And you know that they're going to take everything that they did last game, try to, you know, put it under the microscope, see how they can tweak it. Everything that they did bad, put it under the microscope. John Gruden, you know, people can say what they want, but I knew when he was coming back into the league after being a commentator for so long, he was going to bring it. And I think people laughed when they gave him that contract for 10 years, $100 million. Not one bit. I'm a big John Gruden fan. So when I saw that he was signed to the Raiders, I said, oh, this is going to be good. Think about the years upcoming battling between Andy Reid and John Gruden, two legendary coaches. I mean, and the team that they've assembled. So this is going to be a lot bigger game than people. If you don't know, now you know.
Now you know. And I think the Raiders of the past, in the past, you know, very, like you said, lackluster Chiefs Raiders games, could be gone for the foreseeable future, which again is a great thing for the league. The National Football League is so much better when your teams with some of the most passionate fan bases or your best rivalries are as competitive year in and year out. That, like, it benefits nobody. And also for the Chiefs, and you know, from the perspective, I know it for some fans maybe enjoy watching the Chiefs just absolutely demolish everyone in the AFC West in the last, you know, however many seasons, and especially now with Patrick Mahomes, and it's like, oh, the AFC West, it's the Chiefs. Yeah, nobody else.
Yeah.
But does that really make the Chiefs a better football team? No. Well, if the teams that you're going to see twice a year aren't competitive, that's not going to necessarily, it might hurt you more than it helps you, because I think there's that's a good point that, yeah, that loss could be the push that they need to then go in and win that second Super Bowl. Sometimes you need to kind of get some cold water splash on your face to wake up a bit and realize that you do have to bring it.
And what do you want more as a football fan? I don't even care about your team. I don't care who your preference is. As a football fan, somebody who enjoys watching the game, what are you going to remember more? A blowout win over the Jets where you throw for 5 touchdowns and you beat them by like 35 points? Or are you going to remember a game where you lost, ended up losing, 40-32, right, you know, on the final drive or the final two drives where you could have capitalized and you ended up not being able to, some penalties happened? What are you going to remember more? Being down 3 scores and coming all the way back to the end? You're going to remember the close games, and those are going to solidify football memories way better than a blowout win over somebody. I mean, yeah, I can't even tell you what the scores of were any for any of those past Chiefs Raiders games, because they weren't that memorable. The only one I even can tell you that was solid memory, maybe two of them, was the one where Tyreek Hill, they were chanting Tyreek on a punt return that that Marcus King kicked to him, and Tyreek ran it right back for a touchdown. That was maybe it.
Well, and just like while we're talking about this game and maybe this new age of Raiders Chiefs football, if, you know, that is what ends up happening, which I think it sounds like they're obviously, the Chiefs are not moving in that direction. They are in that
they're
spot.
There.
They're
there. They're in the driver's seat.
But the of the bus. But the Raiders are moving in that direction. So predictions for this game, seeing that Chiefs lost the first one, I don't see them losing a second time. If they will see what the status is with the COVID reserve list, with Martinez Rankin, Mitchell Schwartz, and I believe Mike Remmers on that list right now.
It's Mike Remmers, Mitchell Schwartz,
Martinez Rankin.
It's Fisher Schwartz.
Yes,
and Rankin.
Fisher Schwartz and Rankin. I knew that like Remmers wasn't correct, but I was like, who is the other? Yes. So I mean, that's going to be interesting to see what happens there, because as we know, it was contact tracing. It wasn't.
Yes. No, it wasn't one, official testing.
Mecole Hardman's the only one who's tested positive to this point, at this point in the COVID reserve list, at least in like the recent rounds of testing. So, you know, it could be a Chris Jones situation. He came off the list pretty shortly after. And I really don't know like how they determined that exactly.
I think it's just 2 negative tests is all you need, which
that's it?
Can
yeah.
be over, like, essentially you can have done in essentially a 24-hour span, you know, one that day, one the next
okay.
day. I believe it's 5 if you've tested positive, 2 if it's just been contact tracing.
Okay, yeah, because that's where
I could
I was
be wrong,
like, because they're already
the
getting tested every day, so I think it's just like, in addition to getting, you know, tested every day, still you're just away from the facility until we can confirm that, you know, you are in fact negative after. I really find it fascinating though, like what they're doing with this high-tech contact tracing and being able to determine a high level, you know, exposure versus like one that is, you know, just not anything to worry about. Like, I just find that so fascinating and how you can determine that with just a little armband. Like, what?
Technology, man.
It's
but
crazy.
No, going back to, you know, kind of making predictions on the games, I think the Chiefs are going to come in with quite the vengeance from the last game. I think they're really salty about losing at home to the Raiders, and I do not think they make that same mistake. I think the game is going to be close until towards the end of the third quarter, and I think the fourth quarter, the Chiefs really, really step on the throats. I think the final score is going to end up 34-26 Chiefs. You know, I just
defense
think,
has a better game.
Yeah, I think the defense is going to really come hard. I think they're going to really lock down. I'd like to see L'Jarius Sneed, even though he is coming back off a collarbone injury, at least try to get him peppered in a couple plays here and there. He's obviously not going to be able to take on the workload, but he's going to help, you know, any chance he's in the game. He was one of our best corners before he was out.
Yeah,
he really was, and with the back end looking the way it has, I think Tyrann Mathieu is also going to have a huge game. I think he takes losses the heaviest on the defense, and I think he's going to make it his sole priority to make sure that he's making every single play out there.
Yeah, I think this will be a big game for the Chiefs defensive line. I think, you know, looking at how they've done in the last few weeks, and I know the big critique of them right now, getting pressure, can't get to the quarterback and just finish the job is something that, again, you look at players that take things to heart, Tyrann Mathieu, Chris Jones, Frank Clark, they're very passionate, competitive players. So we will see what happens come Sunday Night Football primetime. It's going to be a good one, but we're going to take a quick break and we'll be back to wrap things up here on Almost Entirely Sports.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
It just looks like one of the monkeys that you would imagine as an alcoholic.
Was he tried in front of his peers?
With Joshua Briscoe.
Yeah, Rudy. And the trial?
No.
Was bananas.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back to Almost Entirely Sports, wrapping up the show here on this Tuesday night, way past this chick's bedtime. I'm about to go snooze.
Speedy Thing's about to go to hit
Speedy
the bed.
Speedy Thing 12 is about to sign off, go to sleep mode for the night.
Tell Tubby 123 is going to go eat some food.
I'm
watch the good doctor.
That Thanksgiving conversation just really got my my metabolism going. But
got the hunger bug rolling.
It is. And again, when I stay up past my bedtime, weird things happen. And so now it's like, do I go eat a meal? Like what do you do? I don't know. This is all new to me. But thank you all for tuning in and listening to the show tonight. Joshua Briscoe will be back next week after his vacation. And we'll see you again soon. Sometime. Maybe on a Saturday. Maybe.
Yeah.
Sometime.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having us.
Bye, everybody.